This is Tell Me Your Story. My name is Richard Dugan, and we're here to bring you new paradigms for a new world. Choices and knowledge of those choices to make your dreams come true. And sometimes it takes some healing to bring that about, and that's perfectly all right. We have healing that is going on around the world as we speak in various corridors and institutions and homes and on the land and in the sea and so forth and so on. And without becoming overly expository, if you will, we're going to continue our programming here on Tell Me Your Story today by talking about healing the rift. Well, what rift, do you say? The rift between science and spirituality. Bridging that gap, the gap between science and spirituality. We're going to be talking with the author of Healing the Rift, Leo Kim. Science, can it actually coexist with spirituality? Leo, I want to welcome you to a program. It's a pleasure to have you, and I'm very excited about our program today.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
The whole issue of science versus spirituality, I have to say, in my early upbringing in broadcasting, it was more the conversation around religion versus science, and that neither of the two could be reconciled because science was out to dethrone God at all costs, and yet when science supported religion, then it was deemed good. I often found that juxtaposition rather strange because they were dealing, the religious were dealing in belief, and you don't use fact in belief, because then it's not belief, it's knowing.
That's right, that's right.
How'd you get started in all of this?
Well, I was a scientist involved with cancer clinical trials about 30 years ago, but it was not the typical cancer treatment that involved poisons, whether it's chemotherapy or radiation. The hope with those old-style drugs were hopefully killing the cancer cells before you kill the patient. But I was involved with the new biotechnology regimes that use the body's natural defenses against cancer. But being involved with the clinical trials and being involved with the world's greatest physicians, clinicians, and scientists, I really, upon seeing patients die, I asked, what might I be missing? And I discovered I was missing two things. Number one, 99.99% of scientists, even those with a PhD degree and a postdoctoral training, really are not given much of any courses or background addressing, from a science perspective, the big questions. What is this world about? What is the universe? What is reality? How did life begin? What is life? What might happen, if anything, after death? That was one thing. So I embarked on a quest to study cosmology, quantum physics, theoretical physics, and origin of life studies.
So you took on the easy stuff.
Yeah, but the other thing I realized is there might be a whole new dimension in which I had no background, and that was spirituality. So for the last 28 years, I've been also studying in an obsessive fashion everything I can get my hands on in terms of information on reading about spirituality, religion. I worked with Deepak Chopra, Bernie Siegel, hands-on healing. I became a clinical hypnotherapist and even a clinical hypnoanesthesiologist. So that's why upon being involved in all of these disciplines, as well as my own, and now I'm heavily involved in clinical trials and biotechnology, I've decided to write this book because I think most people don't realize two things. Number one, that science is in the greatest upheaval in its history. It's even more so than 400 and some years ago when the astronomers found that the Earth was not the center of the universe. And the other thing that I think I wanted to write the book for, and it deals directly with your program, A New Paradigm for a New World, is people need to know that science validates what spiritual teachings and religious teachings have taught for millennia, and that is the mind is all-powerful. The mind can basically change your brain, your health, and your life. And I wanted to write a book in a fashion that was not New Agey and be criticized by scientists. So I quoted Nobel Prize winners, the absolute leaders at the pinnacle of their field with peer-reviewed journals and a bibliography and notes to show the references in the leading journals in the world about my assertions.
Well, now, you mentioned one gentleman, Bernie Siegel. He's going to be on our program in, I believe it's October, and we're going to be talking more about these kinds of things as well. So we'll have an opportunity to pick his brain as to the paradigms that he's dealing in. But you have been involved with the scientific community for many years, and I've often found it interesting, Leo, that science always seems to come up with these rules that govern the universe. And let's say there are 10 billion rules, and man has come up with 10 and thinks he knows them all until he finds number 11 and then thinks he knows them all until he finds 12, et cetera, et cetera. And it almost begs that question. It's almost like finding out 400 and some odd years ago that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. I mean, that was a big joy kill, you know. For the powers that be, and so here we are talking about the reunification, if you will, or bridging the gap between science and not religion per se, but spirituality. And how successful do you think you've been up to this point? And when do you think that you will have achieved some level of success in helping to bridge that very gap?
Well, I think we are in the middle of a scientific revolution, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that the 21st century is the century of the mind, and that people are going to realize the old paradigm of materialism, meaning that everything in our world is made up of things, is a false gospel, is wrong.
Mm.
And this is exactly what spiritual teachings, whether it's African tribes people, South American, Middle, Central American Indians, North American Indians, Australian Aborigines, or any of the great religions, teach the same thing, that the mind has tremendous power,
mm-hmm.
and that the most important parts of our world are hidden. And whether it's the Bible or whatever spiritual or religious teachings, at their core, they all say the same thing. Now, the interesting thing is 21st century science, in the upheaval I'm talking about, is coming around to basically validating it scientifically what spiritual and religious teachings have been talking about for 3,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not talking about when a particular a religion talks about arguing about slight differences in interpretations of what somebody said and all of that, and internal fights within a religious faction. I'm talking about the original teachings, the original precepts.
The cohesiveness between all of the religions of the world.
That's right.
Yeah.
And if one wants to heal rifts, one does not focus on differences. One focuses on commonality.
That's right.
And for those of the listeners who may have seen my book cover, it shows an elephant floating in the clouds. Now, why? Well, there's about a 2,500-year-old Hindu parable or story talking about seven blind men all sitting around an elephant feeling different parts and arguing what's there. Well, in a sense, that's what we do. When we concentrate on differences and we really don't know, we don't have all the facts or all of the ingredients to base our arguments.
Well, we're going to talk more about this, not necessarily in an argumentative fashion, because I tend to think that you and I are probably on the same page here as far as science and spirituality. And it's funny how science seems to be validating not only the existence of spirituality, but a lot of the spiritual phenomenon that a lot of people are starting to experience, and it's becoming more in the mainstream. Leo Kim is my guest. His book is entitled Healing the Rift, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We'll be right back.
Do your thoughts center on regret and resentment? Do you feel lost with all the joy drained out of your life? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Plans without execution are only dreams. At Monarch Wealth Strategies, we follow a disciplined approach to wealth management. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Come experience the integrity, competency, and royal service provided by Monarch Wealth Strategies, a financial services firm founded by myself, Vanessa Patterson, and Aaron Clark. We are at 1501 State Street, a building shared with Community West Bank. Execute your plans today. Contact us at 564-0800, that's 564-0800, or monarchwealthstrategies.com.
The federal government is violating our Constitution on a variety of fronts, taking over private business, recklessly spending our money, demanding greater obedience, contriving to take away the Second Amendment, enslaving more people into the welfare state. Hello, this is Rooster Bradford inviting you to join me on Tuesdays at 2 and 10 p.m. and Saturdays at 6 p.m. at AM 1290 for the Rooster Crow, the program that sounds the wake-up call to the dangers threatening our country.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your story.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we've incorporated a new feature in our program that you won't hear on the air, which seems kind of odd, but it's in an effort to get you to go to the website and check out all of the other things that we have available for you. And this portion or this new feature is called the After Interview. Tell Me Your Story After Interview. And we're going to do that this afternoon here with Leo Kim following this program live. We're also streaming on the internet live at richarddugan.com, which is where you will go to hear the After Interview, where we continue our conversation about his book and his searching and researching in regards to bridging the gap and healing the gap. And that is bridging the gap between the science and spirituality. Healing the Rift is the title of the book. As you mentioned just before we went to break, with an elephant floating in the clouds. Although I would have to say that some Hindu mystics would probably say that's totally possible, levitating an elephant and violating the laws of gravity. Because once you understand how the laws work, you can pretty much do anything you want. Or you ignore the laws, I guess, is one of the things that they talk about as well. How long have you been a scientist again?
Maybe I should
rephrase that. So overall, as a scientist, you've been, because you've been studying in so many different areas.
Yes, I've been, I completed my PhD in the late 60s.
Okay, so almost 40 years.
Yes.
And in those 40 years, have you, as I kind of alluded to before the break, seen some of the, I don't want to say the laws changing, but But the conclusions that we thought we had pretty well locked down became unlocked and had to change, kind of like finding out that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe.
Oh, absolutely. Let me give you an example. Until the mid-1980s, scientists and physicians and clinicians believed that after adolescence, the brain was hardwired. You could not change the wiring in the brain. That was their dogma. Then a psychologist at UCLA and a professor, Jeffrey Schwartz, working with OCD patients, obsessive compulsive disorder patients, had them do mindful meditations, using their mind to, whenever they had this obsessive urge, to focus on something more pleasant. What happened is they actually cured their disease and then rewired their brains.
Wow. Now, that's a process that obviously didn't happen overnight.
Well, what happened, though, is not surprising. Whenever you break a paradigm or you have evidence for a new paradigm, you basically upset the status quo, especially all of those preachers of that paradigm, the leaders in the scientific field. So it's taken about 15 years for scientists to accept the fact that, brain does not create mind. And that was the paradigm. And that sounds so logical. And most people will say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Of course brain creates mind. But what it shows is that mind creates brain. And in fact, it's the hottest thing in neurobiology and neuroclinical biology today. And it's called brain plasticity, where your thoughts, your actions, your feelings actually rewire your brain. And so your thoughts and your feelings rewire the brain, and it's been shown that every one of your 100 trillion cells are actually rewired at the DNA level. So your one's thinking, one's mind creates brain. One's mind can change your health, your body, your cells, and of course your life. And of course, in your show, New Paradigms for a New World, this is the reason I want the readers and your listeners to understand. This is all validated by science, and it's the hottest thing in neurobiology today.
Well, one of the things that we've brought up on this program on a number of occasions that you have really brought to the forefront is that if mind rewires brain, and that if our trillions of cells are changed out on the average in total, on the average of every 7 years, then why isn't it possible for us, instead of having to have stem cells injected or however they're done, why can't we just have mind, our mind or the collective mind, say to the defective or diseased cells in the, let's say, the glaucoma-ridden eye, which I happen to have, I want you to be healthy eye cells so that I can see out of this eye. Because we see it happen on our skin in particularly, we cut ourselves and it heals over, scabs over, and then usually there's no scar, and so forth. So that means that the information that was sent to those cells to regenerate says, go back to the original form of that area. But for the glaucoma-ridden eye, it doesn't do that. How do we, is this a question that is now being asked by science as to how we can do that on a more conscious level?
Absolutely.
And where are we in answering that?
Well, in fact, as you know, in my book, I have a whole chapter on the healing mind. And I talk about how the mind heals. I talk about how what the placebo effect is and its probable usage, and how through the ages, it's been shown that indeed the mind can heal. It can heal psychiatric ailments, like we talked about with OCD patients. But let me give you an example. And I've been lobbying for about 30 years now that there ought to be many clinical trials, and most physicians that I know would like to see it, more clinical trials that show the healing power of the mind. You know why? Because physicians nowadays, they're given only a couple of minutes per patient by the insurance company. So they go whizzing through all of their little alcoves treating patients for a couple of minutes. They know that if they spent more time with the patients, there would be better healing. And once we can have clinical trials that show this, then of course the insurance companies are going to give the physicians more time, because that they don't have to pay for any medicine, and it's much more cheap. And when that happens, and I believe in this century, the 21st century, the century of the mind, this will be the first validation of the individual power of the mind. And it is so badly needed. Our healthcare system needs it. Our terrible healthcare costs, healthcare insurance costs, all of that can be affected by this new revolution that we're in right now.
And yet, on the one hand, that scenario also bangs the death knell, if you will, to those who thrive off of the medical institution that we have in this country in particular, the pharmaceutical company in particular. What's going to happen to that whole industry? It's going to die, and you're going to have hundreds and thousands of people out of work, Leo.
Well, I don't know that they'll die. They're already undergoing sort of a Pac-Man game where there's becoming fewer and fewer pharmaceutical companies because it's so expensive to do the clinical trials. They've taken certain paradigms and followed that. And I've been involved with these companies now for 30 years. So I'm not advocating just healing by the use of the mind. I'm not advocating that at all. But what I'm saying is when you put one and one together, you'll get five. When you use the powerful medicines and diagnostic regimes that are in existence and that I know because I'm working with it in the pipeline, when you put that together with the power of the mind and, oh, by the way, logical nutrition rather than the nonsense nutrition that most Western individuals go through. Mm-hmm. But when we couple the power of the mind with modern healing regimes and diagnostic regimes, we're going to see a dawn of a new age in healthcare in this country and in the world.
Well, we certainly could use that. And there are those who are actually advocating the fact that we've been able to, or we've had the capacity, the capacity to do this ever since we have existed on the planet. But it's been the institutions that have existed over the centuries, and you put whatever name in front of that you want, who have basically told us you must go outside yourself.
But it's changing,
yes.
Richard. And let me give you two examples. Mm-hmm. One is, since I mentioned earlier, I've been lobbying for 30 years the clinical trials for the mind. Mm-hmm. Well, scientific and clinical trials have begun in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. And my website, www.healingtheriftbook.com, basically has posted many studies that show what kind of mental exercises might delay senility, where a 60, 70-year-old might do mental exercises and recapture their mental sharpness that they were at 40 and 50, when they were age 40 and 50. There's even studies going on as to what kind of exercises might slow down or even reverse dementia, such as Alzheimer's. So those have occurred. Now, in addition, this last week has shown where there's been a very expensive clinical trial involving over 1,200 patients on a pill that costs less than a penny, aspirin. And aspirin has been known to help prevent strokes and heart attacks. And now it was shown unequivocally that it not only can prevent colon cancer, but if one has colon cancer, it can prevent the severity of it. Now, I'm not advocating rushing out and people taking aspirin, and on my web post this week, I talk about that. But so people are not doing clinical trials just on the expensive drug company stuff. Mm-hmm. Here is stuff you can go to over the counter and buy, and you should first see your physician about it. But it has a major impact. In fact, it is probably has the biggest impact on colon cancer of any of the drugs that are out there. And I've been involved in this field for 30 years, and it's just blowing clinicians and scientists away. And even the mechanism of the aspirin on how it works is known. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense, but it still blew scientists away as to the magnitude of its action.
Couple things. Number one, I'm wondering what the impact of the very scientists who are working these clinical trials is having, the impact that they are having on the outcome and the results. Again, I'm not casting aspersions, because it has been scientifically proven that you can run this exactly the same experiment and get a different result depending upon who's participating, not in terms of the double-blind individuals, but in terms of the actual clinicians who are participating, their mindsets, where they're coming from spiritually, their energy can actually have an impact on those results.
You're absolutely right. Their energy, their mindset, their biases can influence it. And one of the problems is that many, many clinical trials probably had an effective drug and it failed simply because of a bad design of the clinical trial. That is sad, because so much money is spent on these clinical trials that to spend the money and then have it blown because it was badly designed is incredible, but it's true.
It's very interesting. If you have just joined us, my guest is Leo Kim. He is the author of a great new book that is out. It's called Healing the Rift, Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. And we're talking about, right now, we're certainly talking, as far as medicine is concerned, we're discussing those issues of the mind. Now, you said that the brain, that the original, I guess, theory or conclusion was that the brain is what can change the mind, but what we found is it's the mind that alters the brain. What is and or where is the mind?
Ah, great question. You know, imagine a little girl, the first time she sees a television set, she would think the television set creates the cartoon she looks at or the news that her father watches. We all know that the television set does not create the cartoon. The television set does not create the news broadcast. All the television set does is it takes in less than a trillionth of that energy out there in the universe, brings it in, filters it out, and transforms it into something that little girl can understand. Well, that little 3-pound box sitting on our shoulders is pretty much the same thing, except it's a receiver and a transmitter. But it also does not do a very good job on filtering out all the other stuff. And so when we're trying to meditate, and anybody who's tried it will realize, hey, this isn't so easy. And, thoughts go into your brain like, hey, I got to remember to pick up the milk on the way home, or I got this appointment tomorrow, I better wake up early, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's only when you filter out all of those extraneous brain interactions, the brain communicating with itself, and allow the brain to be the receiver of the information in the universe, then you will get what all the spiritual sages, all the spiritual leaders got, and that's why they all have come to the same conclusion. They've all accessed the wisdom of the universe, whether they're religious teachers, religious leaders, or spiritual leaders. When you quiet the mind, you find the truth of the universe, and it comes pouring in. And scientists demand reproducibility. If something works here in San Diego, it better work in Santa Barbara or in Paris. And yet here is validation of this concept that's worked for millennia, across languages and across cultures, that these same truths are discovered by all of these spiritual teachers.
Well, I find it extremely fascinating. I mean, I ask the question not because I don't know, although I don't, I suppose. I mean, it's like, is it out there somewhere or is it in here in my head? And the reality, I suppose, depending upon which teaching you wish to follow, is yes. The answer to the question is yes. It's in both places because the mind, the universal mind, some might say as well. As we continue talking about healing the rift, and it's almost impossible as we carry on this conversation to discuss the physical world and not talk about the spiritual world and vice versa, because they are so, they seem to be so intertwined. Can we, have there been any clinical trials done aside from the medical types that you've already discussed to prove or disprove, or at least try to come to some conclusion that we can create our own reality? I mean, if we can do the things you've stated with the mind on a medical level, why can't we do that on a physical level? I want more money. I want a new husband, a new wife, a new job, etc. The list goes on. Where are we in that particular realm? Or is that really all that important?
Well, it depends on how, I guess, how much value we put on that. But I think the important take-home message that I want people to have from Healing the Rift is the healing power of the mind, mm-hmm. and that what we think we become and that our minds can change our lives. In other words, we're not saddled or shackled to the cards we're dealt with. We all have had trauma. We've all may have been abused. We all may have come from some sorts of dysfunctional situations. We may be in a situation right now where there's stuff going on. And what people need to know is they're not victims. One does not have to accept that as being stuck and you cannot get out of this hole. The opposite is true. And by reading Healing the Rift, people will realize that science validates it. So the adage of you know, what you think you become, mm-hmm. is absolutely true, and that's an ancient teaching, and so you know I think the feeling that people have had in the past is that needs to be revised, and this whole the feeling that the that one is that brain creates mind is false, and that bothers. Now let me quote. It's actually on the beginning of chapter 7 of my book, and it's by Maharishi Yogi. All that there is the result of what we have thought. The mind is everything. What we think we become. And that's an ancient spiritual teaching, but it's the hottest thing now in neurobiology, and it's called brain plasticity.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to understand that, and this is why this is going to be the century of the mind.
And basically what we're saying here is that you have the ability to change your life. It doesn't happen in an instant, and it doesn't move you from one place to another instantaneously. You start taking those small steps by starting to change your thoughts about things, and you suddenly begin the wheels turning, and the next thing you know, wow, how did I get here? I like where I am now. I wasn't real thrilled with where I was, and I felt stuck there. You know, and that's really what we're saying here on this program as well, is that you can do that. And Leo, and your team and the people that you associate with are proving that scientifically, that it is possible.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing. And it leads me to the discussion of words. When I hear news reports or I hear people talking on various programs, they're not necessarily dealing with the subject of the economy. It's not an economics program, but the subject of the economy, big T-H-E. and the economic situation or the economic downturn, whatever phrases you want to use to describe where we are in reality today with our economy, it's almost as though every time we say that, we reinforce what's happening. And I'm thinking, isn't there another way that we can address our conversations without throwing in those catchphrases that tells people, as if they didn't already know, the state of the economy? Or for that matter, changing the state of the economy by saying, hey, the economy is actually, it's really great. Or maybe just changing your perception and not talking about it at all, but talking about things that make you happy, that bring you joy, doing things that excite you, those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Is that the process, if you will, of sort of rewiring the brain with mind?
Yes, I think that's part of it, and that's a very important part. That, you know, if we focus on negatives, our mind is creating negatives and creating the wiring for those negatives. If one focuses on, let's take, we all know of, and these have been popular news stories, we all know of somebody that's really handicapped, really bad, and yet they turn out to be an example of their attitudes with their handicap. They look at, no, I can't do such and such because I have this handicap. But instead, they show the world that their mind is focusing on the positive. And, you know, how many times have we seen this with whether it's a famous physicist or a famous actor that has a particular ailment, and they're held up as heroes? But, you know, it's simple. It's the mind. It's what we focus on. It's what we want to create. Now, if we have a slight bruised thumb or a bruised arm, we can go around and focus on that and feel highly handicapped, and our day and maybe our month is ruined. Or we can go on and we could, focus on the positive and have all these wonderful things happen to us.
And I know, too, that there is some level of criticism by those who have been in their way of life for decades, if you will. And when they hear this whole thing, oh, just speak this positive. Oh, it's just woo-woo. That's a fairy tale. It doesn't really happen. Well, for the individual who's cynical like that, no, it doesn't happen. But I have to say from my own personal experiences that when I'm not feeling good and I start sort of speaking into that energy, I don't get any better. But if I start, maybe I'll watch a funny movie or a sitcom that I kind of like, and it starts to pull me out a little bit. And then I converse with people that I enjoy being around, or talking with my wife as well, who I enjoy being around, or playing with the animals that we have. It makes a big difference. And speaking of animals, what role do you see animals, the creatures of the planet, the pets that we have, playing in this whole process of bridging, of healing the rift between spirituality and science?
Oh, I think they play a tremendous role. And in fact, you know, the animals are tuned into this universe. They have a receiver sitting on their shoulders, and they're not as burdened with keeping up with the Joneses next door or looking to buy their new car or making their mortgage payments. And so they are more naturally tuned in to the universe. And there is a very famous book written by a great British scientist and author, Rupert Sheldrake, who wrote a book, I think it's been some time now, on dogs who know when their owners come home. And he actually did 3 years of research, and he interviewed thousands of individuals. And, you know, we think of, whether it's animal or human ESP, or what we might call paranormal. Well, I'm actually giving a talk in San Diego in October, and the title of it is "The Paranormal is Normal."
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I used to talk with people about, for example, the miracles that Jesus did. It was no big deal to him. It's just that was the way he was. You know, that's what he did. I had an experience at a radio station once where I was just doing my job. They didn't know that I had, at that time, a visual impairment. And when they found out, they're going, wow. And it's like, well, it's no big deal. And the paranormal is a normal part of our lives, but we don't open ourselves up to it.
That's right. That's right.
How can we do that? How can we be more receptive to those types of things?
Well, I think people, you know, I'm a scientist, but I think, and I respect science and scientists, and I think science has done wonderful things. But I think the common layperson has put science too much on a pedestal, and they accept too much from science as being the gospel, when all of the big questions, whether it is the origin of life, origin of the universe, what is the universe, what is life, none of those questions have been answered by science. And in fact, the way that scientists are trying to answer those questions are based on faith, that's based on a particular belief system, that their belief system is correct, and they're rejecting other belief systems. So I believe that the first thing that people need to know, and it's a point that I make in Healing the Rift, is I point out the belief system of scientists for the important questions. And then what I do is I point out the facts, the revolution we're going through in the 21st century that scientists are going through, that I would say most scientists are so engaged on the nitty-gritty, on some narrow aspect of science, they're missing the big picture. And right now, the big picture is we live in a mental, spiritual universe. We have, and I quote Richard Henry, who's a chaired astrophysicist from Johns Hopkins University, and he wrote in the number one journal in the world, Nature, and he said, you know, the trouble with scientists nowadays is they haven't caught up to the 21st century. They think of the world as things, mm-hmm. but there isn't things in our world. What is really out there, and I'm quoting him, is mind and spirit. Now, here is not some New Age person saying this. It is one of the world's leaders in science saying it.
Wow. Well, you know, this is the amazing thing that changes the constant in the universe, and even science changes.
Absolutely.
And
that's wonderful. And the good thing about scientists is they're open to change.
Yeah, the thing that blew me away was when I was in grade school, I actually memorized the periodic table in order to go on some trip. Well, it's changed since then, so they've added some more elements from what I understand.
That's true.
And I thought back then when I was a kid, those were all of them. There were no more. And that's what is rather striking to me, is that we conclude that we're the only sentient beings in the universe. And it's like, until we find that there are others, and then we have to change that paradigm, and that they're all out to get us, that they're all coming here to attack us, until they don't, and then we have to change that paradigm, you know, and so on and so forth. So if we can grasp, to take a quote from a book called Who Moved the Cheese, if we can grasp the concept that the cheese is always going to get moved, and that's okay, we would flow through this life a whole lot more easily. A whole lot more easily. Leo Kim, we're just coming to the next break here on our program. He is the author, by the way, of a book you want to pick up. I think it'd be fascinating for you to read just from our conversation here, Healing the Rift. And it's basically the process of bridging the gap between science and spirituality. You can go to healingtheriftbook.com. That's healingtheriftbook.com. And to get more information, there are even some videos up there where you're sharing and expounding further on these subjects that we've talked about. And we encourage people to go there. This is Tell Me Your Story, new paradigms for a new world, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And let me tell you something. If you can get mind to change the synapses and the pathways in the brain to change the thoughts that would then change the actions, you could change your world and the world around you and make it a much better place for you and everyone else. What have you got to lose? I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Restoring balance and joy to your life can be achieved by letting go of negative thought patterns and destructive habits. Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
If you're looking for a general contractor to hang a door or build your multi-million dollar facility, talk to Armstrong Associates that specializes in both residential and commercial construction. I'm Steve Cushman, president of the Santa Barbara Region Chamber of Commerce. We're proud that Armstrong Associates, a five-time Builder of the Year award winner, was recently named one of the 20 fastest growing companies in the Tri-Counties. Armstrong Associates provides a broad range of building, consulting, and construction services for simple to elaborate commercial and residential projects. They specialize in green building construction, and they excel at assisting architectural firms with timely, cost-efficient design and budget criteria, while working closely with clients, government agencies, and the general public to ensure quality from start to finish. Looking for a general contractor who is dedicated to exceeding desires and expectations? Contact Bill Shields at Armstrong Associates 569-6170 or armassoc.com.
Plans without execution are only dreams. At Monarch Wealth Strategies, we follow a disciplined approach to wealth management. It is our pleasure to be of service to you. Come experience the integrity, competency, and royal service provided by Monarch Wealth Strategies, a financial services firm founded by myself, Vanessa Patterson, and Aaron Clark. We are at 1501 State Street, a building shared with Community West Bank. Execute your plans today. Contact us at 564-0800, that's 564-0800, or monarchwealthstrategies.com.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes. And on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones. All the trouble that you know empties out.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan here with Leo Kim, author of Healing the Rift, and that's Bridging the Gap Between Science and Spirituality. Following this broadcast, the live broadcast, we are going to carry on an after interview, and we're going to have that available following the program, and you'll be able to hear that on the archives page, the radio shows page. It'll be part of the total interview, so you'll be able to hear everything in its totality. Speaking of after interviews, let's talk about the afterlife. We were talking about the mind and science and all the things that it validates, Leo. But, you know, there are those who don't believe that there's anything after this. From my perspective, that doesn't make any sense, considering the pursuits on a mental physical and spiritual plane that we pursue, but does science validate the hereafter?
Well, what most people don't realize and why, well, number one, the afterlife is one of the key issues that people think there's a rift between science and spirituality. And I wrote an entire chapter on the afterlife because I wanted people to know. And we don't have time to go into it, but there are 21st century studies by leading scientists published in leading journals, peer-reviewed journals, that actually provides evidence for the afterlife. And these are scientists and physicians that are doing these publications. So I encourage people to look at the evidence and make their own judgment from the evidence.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do as an added incentive to go to richarddugan.com and listen to the archived interview of our talk. That's what we're going to talk about in the after interview is the afterlife. We're going to let people know more about that and the scientific evidence for it and what is in the afterlife, if we have any supporting evidence to support a heaven or hell or just a blissful state. We'll talk a little bit about that in the after interview. Leo, before we wrap up this segment of our program here on the Tell Me Your Story radio program, I wanted to ask you, with all of the scientific endeavors that you've been involved in for the last 30, 40 years, and certainly you could have done a lot of other things. I mean, there's no question that we all could have done a lot of other things than what we're doing. Why are you doing this now?
Well, I'm spending considerable time and effort and money to try to get the story out because we are in a truly exciting time where, in a positive sense, it's almost like the perfect storm where 21st century science is in its greatest upheaval. Scientists are realizing that 96% of our world is missing, that there are infinite number of parallel universes, that there are hidden dimensions, that empty space is not empty. All of these things are explained in the book, and how that throws out, that wipes the board clean of materialism. It wipes the board clean, and that's what happened when it was discovered that the Earth was not the center of the universe. The board was wiped clean, and then we had 3 centuries of scientific discoveries and progress in terms of social issues and science. And that's what's going on right now. And with that, I want people to understand the wonderful power that they have with their own mind.
It's extraordinary. I mean, we know of people who, and usually it's in magic shows or things of this nature, where they can move things with their mind. They can bend spoons and those types of things. I don't know whether that's really true or not. I don't know if they can or can't. I do know that I have made changes in my life based upon changing the way that I perceive things. And that's why I find myself here with you today, Leo Kim, author of Healing the Rift. And it is basically bridging the gap between science and spirituality. I want to thank you so much for joining us on this live edition and ask you to stay with us as we talk more about the hereafter regarding Healing the Rift. And I thank you, Leo.
Thank you for having me on.
I'm Richard Dugan, and I hope you will join us for our little half-hour segment that we're going to do following this program, and it will be on the website, available for you at richarddugan.com. That's RichardDugan, richarddugan.com. Click on the radio shows page, and it'll probably be up there about 30 minutes, 45 minutes after this broadcast is over. We certainly hope that you'll avail yourself of that. And all of the other interviews that we've done over almost 2 years of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we're very excited about the possibilities, the real happenings of continuing this for, who knows, 200 years. I'm willing to live that long if you're willing to listen that long. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. with an after interview following on the website at richarddugan.com. Join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time here on this station for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. Until then, love to Lal. We're now here with the after interview with Leo Kim, who is the author of Healing the Rift, and healingtheriftbook.com is his website. Leo, I thank you so much for staying with us for this after interview on our Tell Me Your Story radio program.
Oh, thank you for inviting me for this
It's
innovative idea.
Well, I tell you what, it's extraordinary that people such as yourself, who are in the scientific community, are endeavoring to, if you will, sort of unravel some of the mysteries that plague us all. I mean, the 3 basic questions that everybody is asking, who am I, how did I get here, and where am I going? And one of the things we want to talk about is where we're going. Do you know where we're going, Leo? Can you prove it scientifically?
What I can prove is what scientists don't know. I can illustrate in the book where scientists think they are right now, and all of that validates and is evidence for, but it's not proof. Scientists cannot prove anything. All they can do is provide evidence. Mm-hmm. And Einstein was once quoted, you know, it could take me several decades to create this theory, but it just takes one experiment to blow the theory apart and force it to be discarded. So, and that's what happens in science. But where we are today is science has finally come around to be very open on what it doesn't know. And what it doesn't know, I think everybody should realize what scientists don't know. And the takeaway message is that when you look at what they don't know and you look for the commonalities of what they do know and compare it with spiritual and religious teachings, it's astounding. Now, I talked about the elephant and the blind people. You know, rifts are created, and we have a lot of rifts in our world between countries, between political factions, between conservatives and liberals, etc. But, you know, rifts that exist are not healed by focusing on the differences.
Mm-hmm.
And the strategy I took in writing Healing the Rift was to focus on commonalities. And lo and behold, when you do that, when you look at 21st century science and you look at the commonalities of it and spiritual teachings and religious teachings, it just blew me away, and it convinced me that I knew I had to write this book, because it's amazing. I did not know that it was going to be so profound and so so exciting. And that's really why I'm excited about going around and talking about Healing the Rift and what it can do to really transform people's lives and what it means. What it means to our everyday lives. And it's not a theoretical exercise to understand about, you know, what might seem to be uninteresting science, but rather it's to show people just the power that they have, the exciting power that they have.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the hereafter. I mean, we all are going, my father said to me many years ago, he says, none of us are getting out of this world alive. But he's obviously speaking more of the physical body, that our vehicle is going to wear out, just like we go through who knows how many cars in our lifetime. The vehicle, our body, is going to wear out, and we'll have to exit that vehicle. Where are we going to go?
Well, I don't know that, but we were talking earlier that I have a whole chapter on afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the studies that I quote, you know, again, earlier we also talked about how the paradigm was that brain creates mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a Dutch cardiologist, and he did a 12-year clinical trial, and the results were published in the leading British medical journal called The Lancet, which is a peer-reviewed medical journal. And in this 12-year clinical trial, he studied people who had heart attacks. Now, in heart attacks, people have no breathing. There's no heartbeat, and after 8 seconds of no blood supply to the brain, there's no brain function. And then later, maybe several minutes later, these people were revived with CPR and quote come back to life. But he puts in print, you know, modern science cannot explain how these people can remember events while they were dead, when there was no cardiac activity, no brain function. How can that be? Now, how can that be is that we are associating our mind with our body, with our mind with our brain, and yet the mind knew what was happening. Some instances, they knew what was going on in the parking lot. They knew what was going on in the hospital room. They knew what was going on some distance away from where they were lying there as a empty vesicle of their body. How did they do that? Well, it's explainable, just like that little girl is amazed and watching the cartoon on the television set and think the television set creates the cartoon. Suppose the television set suddenly had a blackout or busted. Well, that cartoon is still on the airwaves. That cartoon still exists out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we believe that this universe is a mental, physical, spiritual universe, and that we are all interconnected at the basic levels of quantum physics, as quantum physicists believe that all particles are interconnected and they communicate with each other, if that's true, then the mind, we're all part, we're all infinitely small drops of an infinitely large ocean that's mental and spiritual.
So in a manner of speaking, we are all receivers of a signal, if you will. And that just because the receiver goes away doesn't mean the signal goes away.
Correct.
And that signal we would define in some terms as mind, right?
Yes, yes. And I point out in Healing the Rift how our brain has to simplify so much for ourselves. There's just too much information out there. And a lot of what it simplifies is actually false. And I try to point out those falsities as well. And that's very, very important for people to realize.
Yeah. It is quite an extraordinary thing to consider. I mean, I've sat around tables with people or even around fireplaces. We've talked about these high consciousness, higher consciousness kinds of things. And it blows me away how many people are there. They're contemplating this. They're processing it in their minds, even though it's like trying to process infinity. Because we don't have any points of reference yet. And I'm wondering how this all plays into your study and research on the spiritual level in regards to, say, the topic of reincarnation. If we are just receivers, the physical body is just a receiver, and we're able to hook up with a new receiver, then could that very well help to support a scientific validation of reincarnation?
Well, yes, and I guess the answer is yes, it could. And, you know, I don't have the answers to all of this, but...
Well, we were looking to you.
Well, what I do have, though, is the best that science has right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really amazing. And that's what I want people to understand and to be appreciative of. And with that, I think... they will view their world, our world, as somewhat of a wonder. And I think, as I said earlier, one doesn't have to feel chained to one's past or being a victim to our current circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, as you know, and as one of the principles of your program, New Paradigms for a New World, is something that you've been trying to state to your audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that we can change our world, and I'm looking for all those different ways to do so. I believe there's a new way to live. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm getting the various itty-bitty components, the little pieces of the puzzle, and I'm starting to put that together. There are people here in our own Central Coast who are trying to develop community a different way, which isn't so much a different way. Maybe it's sort of actually going back to a way that it actually worked before we got into the mechanized, industrialized civilization that we have today that isn't really working too well for us.
Right. And I hope your listeners have learned some things that they can take home and put in the bank can really help change their thinking about the world. And for a very
Well, you know, I'm sure you've heard this phrase before from prospective parents. You know, they're asked, so when are you going to have kids? Well, the time isn't just right. You know, the world isn't the way we want it. Or, in other words, there's always some reason not to bring a child into this world or not to do something because the situation isn't right. You're speaking to changing your perception of the way things are to move forward and do the things that you really want to do.
That's correct. And by changing one's perspective, it sounds so simple and it sounds almost ridiculous, but it can change one's life, and it will change one's life. And the question is, do you want to change that to the positive or do you want to change it to the negative? And if it's the positive, then that's what I'm encouraging people to understand, that they have the power.
How long did it take you to put this together, this book, Healing the Rift?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I've been studying the subject since the early 80s, mm-hmm. and it took me 5 years of writing and research to put the book together.
What do you, I know you've probably answered this question at least one time during our program, but I'm going to ask it directly. What do you hope to accomplish with this book? What do you want to see achieved, a legacy that you want to leave?
Oh, I don't know if I have anything as grandiose as a legacy, but I guess I believe that if I can change or influence, not change, if I can influence maybe just one person to climb out of their hole and to see the world differently and to realize that they can change their life, and their life is transformed by that knowledge, by that understanding, then all of this is worth it.
Mm-hmm. What about your peers? And obviously the colleagues that you work with are certainly in concert. They're in the same mindset, if I may throw that pun out there. But what about those who were critical of you, cynics, if you will, in the field, when you first started all of this? Are they sort of on your side now, or do you still have some of those that are kind of holding on? They don't want to let go, because for them, if they let go, they're letting go of something that's been the foundation of their lives as long as they've been around.
Well, I think there are different people who have different beliefs, and certainly that's true in the science area. I mean, we have Richard Dawkins, who wrote the best-selling, and I don't understand why it's a bestseller, but a best-selling book called The God Delusion. And I believe that Dawkins, who's really a great biologist and a very good scientist and a very good author, he's made contributions to science. But the problem is, when he wrote his book, The God Delusion, he was under his own delusion. He was under his own paradigm of materialism. And so there are a lot of scientists and lay people like Dawkins who do not fully understand the revolution we're going through. And that's one of the messages that I want people to understand, that we are in a revolution right now, and that if people could really understand what that revolution is, they can also understand how it can transform their lives for the positive.
Would you say that this is sort of like, as far as the mind is concerned, sort of a new Renaissance period sorts?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And that's why I say that the 21st century is going to be known as the century of the mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's fascinating, because the potential, the possibilities are endless, but in a sense they always have been. And now you're shedding light on the realities through science that they can be. Now, you know, too, that there are people who are critical of science because, some scientists will go in with a theory and they'll try to prove the theory rather than allowing science to prove or disprove it. In other words, they go in with the preconceived idea, and they won't stop until they've proved their theory. In other words, if they disprove it, they'll keep going.
Well, yeah, but in the strictest sense, they can't prove their theory. All they can do is provide evidence for or against the theory, and that's fine, and mm-hmm. and that's what scientists should do. But I think to demand proof is unreasonable, and for scientists to claim they have proof is outlandish, is totally unscientific to make that claim. Scientists should know better, that they never prove anything. They just supply more evidence for or against something.
Well, there's a gentleman I should introduce you to. He's written a book about the fifth dimension, and he actually uses terminology that you have used, in that you can't prove, but you can show evidence of. And in other words, he can show the effects of.
Mm-hmm.
He can prove that the first and the second dimensions and even the third exist, height, mm-hmm. width, depth. He cannot prove that the fourth dimension of time exists, but he can prove the effects of it, and subsequently the fifth. And he refers to the fifth, and these are my words, as basically this is where the mind is. This is where the information comes from. But he, like you, is a scientist. I think it would be fascinating to hook the two of you up together, because I think you two would have a great deal to talk about.
Oh, I'd love that. Yes.
I'll see what I can do to connect the two of you, because I think this kind of conversation, you know, it's funny, Leo. By the way, if you've just joined us, this is our after interview. Leo Kim is my guest, and he is the author of Healing the Rift. We see a lot of programs on the Discovery Channel, Leo, where they find new writings, they find new texts buried in holes all over the world. And supposedly the powers that be don't want a lot of this stuff revealed because they say it will undermine the religion that they're supposedly coming from, right?
Well, I think whether it's religions or whether it's scientists,
yeah.
there's a certain dogma
yeah.
that is adhered to, and that... the people who have vested interest in, or maybe even a conflict of interest, will take a particular position,
mm-hmm.
even though it is, it's basically wrong. It's basically a position that goes against what they've been taught as a scientist to be so dogmatic.
Yeah. And again, I ran into many of those in my days with working amongst those in Christian broadcasting that were extremely dogmatic, and that didn't matter what you said or what how sound or logical your position was. And that was an extreme frustration. I'm sure it must. And I would assume that you don't go head to head debating people on this subject, because it really doesn't bear much fruit.
Well, what I want to do is I want to point out the commonalities.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I want to look for commonalities and the ways to heal the rift.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to fan any fires.
Right.
I really don't want to create conflict. I'm trying to bridge a gap.
Right. Absolutely. The book, by the way, is available, I'm sure, at Amazon and at your local bookstores. It's also available on the website, healingtheriftbook.com. That's healingtheriftbook.com. And my guest is Leo Kim. He is the author. Now, you have on your website, healingtheriftbook.com, some additional videos and other information. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. If you look at the top of the website, you can find what it says blog. I have posted, 80 or 90 blogs that talk about it, everything from cancer and cancer clinical trials to what this universe is all about. The latest ones that have blown a lot of people away is what I predicted in the book, and that is that first life, the very first life, which were single-celled organisms, were tuned in to the universal mind. Remember, we were talking about the mind is the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the first organisms were tuned in to the universal mind. And I got a lot of criticism on that. And then lo and behold, after the book came out last October, in February of this year, it was discovered that when you put individual bacteria in separate glass tubes close to each other but separated by glass, they can actually communicate. Now, prior to this, it was thought that that organisms can only communicate by chemical signals or by touch. Now, here they were using bacterial ESP, or electromagnetic energy, to communicate with each other. This was not published in some fly-by-night scientific journal, but in a peer-reviewed journal, the leading journal in the world. Now, wow. Now, then a few months later, it was shown that a single molecule called a nanoparticle could act as an AM receiver or an AM transmitter. So here now is a basis for how a little bacteria can communicate, both send and receive signals. They can do it with single molecules, and that's been shown again in one of the leading journals in the world by leading scientists in a peer-reviewed journal. Now, finally, just about 3 weeks ago, and that's on another post I put on my blog, it was discovered again in a leading journal by leading scientists in a peer-reviewed journal, that we all heard about the case where dogs can be trained to salivate by ringing a bell and then giving them some food. Well, the same experiment in an analogous way was shown to be true with bacteria and yeast. And both of these are single-cell organisms. They don't have a brain, obviously. They don't even have a single nerve cell. And yet they can think. Now, how can that be? They can communicate with each other through glass, and they can think and anticipate the future. Now, what other explanation makes sense than they're being tuned in by the use of their simple molecules that they have to tuned in to each other and tuned in to the universe?
Wow.
Now, that's the kind of thing you can gain on my website, and why people are signing up for my newsletter. When they go to my website, healingtheriftbook.com, there's a pop-down, and you get the first chapter of the of my book sent to you by email, and you're automatically enlisted on my mailing list, and there's about 1,000 people signed up so far.
Wow. I mean, just that's phenomenal, because that, of course, opens up the door for the real possibilities that, you know, we can begin the process of communicating without speaking. We can communicate with one another through, obviously, through telepathy or whatever you want to call it, because that's the way these cells that you're describing are doing it.
The paranormal is normal.
Well, how has this affected your life? How has this changed your belief systems, your paradigms, if you will, over the years?
Well, it's been dynamic, to say the least. It's I've changed very much. When I first went into metaphysical healing, when I first studied it, whether it's hypnotherapy, hands-on healing, studied spiritual teachings of Deepak Chopra, Bernie Siegel. And incidentally, Bernie Siegel I've studied with, and he's given me a very nice endorsement for the book. But all of these things, I entered as a typical scientist with great skepticism. And yet, you know, my views have changed very dramatically simply because of what I've discovered.
Wow. It really is worthy of wow, because this is stuff that we've, for the most part, either only dreamt about or we've only read about or seen in science fiction, these types of things, and the ability to transform and transmute and change the cellular, the molecular structure of certain things, whether it be just the neural pathways of the brain or even, you know, growing, you know, a new hand or a new eye or something. And again, the possibilities are without a doubt, they are endless.
And hence why I am so excited and why I'm so dedicated to getting the word out so that people can understand this. And most people are totally unaware, and that's too bad, because as you pointed out, this is a wow type thing.
Yeah, it really is. It's not just awesome, it's wow.
That's right.
Well, Leo, I want to, first of all, thank you for staying on with us through our extended after interview and sharing with us about the afterlife as far as healing the rift is concerned, and the research and scientific study have begun to show us, and look forward to hearing more about this that may very well allow us to not just change the brain and the neural pathways and so forth to change our lives. It, in knowing that there is a hereafter, in knowing that we are not just going to disappear and that there's something beyond this that's really pretty terrific. And again, we're just changing vehicles or getting rid of the vehicle, and now we're walking, as it were. It may take the pressure off folks, because I know there are a lot of people that are afraid to die.
Oh, yes, yes. And, that's understandable given, again, the sort of materialistic perspective that people have, and that includes scientists.
Yeah.
But this is why it's so exciting to bring forth this message.
Well, we're excited to have had the opportunity to help you to do that. We certainly hope to stay in touch with you. And here, have you a new book in the works down the road?
No, but it could be coming. But I'm updating the information I have in my book on my website, and it's providing, I think, a lot of information they need to show that a lot of things. There were a lot of assertions in the book. And with very good backing, very good scientific evidence backing it up. And lo and behold, things are just getting better.
Yeah. Well, we are looking forward to things getting better and better, not only for you, but for us and for everybody that's listening. And we encourage you to pick up a copy of his book, Healing the Rift. And again, healingtheriftbook.com. Get more information, get on his mailing list for his newsletter, find out more about the way that science and spirituality are getting closer and closer. Leo, thanks so much for the time.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on.